Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
People, everybody trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on any advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. World. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Today is February 12th. The year is 2023. And you have tuned in to Words Made People. We're going to speak about our Muslim American flag, the Muslim American flag that was given to us by our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. But however, for those of you who are regular listeners to our program, know that we always begin our program with reading from Quran. And today, we're going to read from chapter 49, verse 13. So while you're looking up your, what you're going to read from, I know some of us read from our phone or from our tablet, or some of us still go old school and get the actual Quran, hard copy, paper version, whatever your choice is, good. But we're going to read from chapter 49, verse 13. Then we know as Muslims that we always begin reading. You always begin with recognizing the protocol for Muslims reading the Quran. We just don't pick up the book and begin reading. We don't pick up the book and just begin reading anything without first seeking protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy. And we do that by saying the words A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Nirrajim. That is the first thing that we say before reading the Quran. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Nirrajim. Then next, before reading the Quran, we always say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And we recite that next. Unless you are reading from chapter 9 of the Quran. If you read from chapter 9 of the Quran, you do not say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And then we are ready to read the Quran. So again, that is chapter 49, verse 13. And it says here, Ya ayyuha nasu inna khalaqnakum min thakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa kabaila lista'arifu inna akramakum ihdallahi atkaakum inna allaha alimu kabiru. And then we say sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah has spoken the mighty truth. And so reading from the Yusuf Ali translation of this verse, Ya ayyuha nasu, it's saying, O mankind, it says, Inna khalaqnakum min thakarin wa untha. We created you from a single pair of a male and a female. Wa ja'alnakum, and we made you shu'uban, nations, wa kabaila, and tribes, to arafu, that you may know or get acquainted with each other, so that you may acknowledge each other. It says, in akramakum, surely the most honored of you. That's the word akramakum. For like the name Kareem is in that Kareem. Here it's in the tense of akrama, Kum, the most honored of you. Itdelahi, in the sight of Allah, is the one that is at Kadkum. Kadkum. In the word at Kadkum, we have the word taqwa, your God consciousness. It says, the most honored of you in the sight of God is he who is the most, yeah, Yusuf Ali says, the most righteous of you. If the word is dealing with taqwa, the God consciousness. And it says, lastly, inna ha alimu, surely Allah is alimu, it means full of knowledge, kabirun, well acquainted with all things. And then upon completing the reading, Muslim, we say, sadakallahu al-azim, sadaka, we pray sadaka, right? Sadaka, tense here is referring to the truth. Sadakallahu al-azim, Allah has spoken the truth, a mighty truth. A mighty truth. Sadakallahu al-Azim. Allah has spoken a mighty truth. So in this reading, just some thoughts that we want to reflect upon. And here it says, O mankind. It didn't say, yeah, mukminin, or muslimin. It didn't say believers. It didn't say, Muslims. It says, Nasu. So this is a message from Allah to humanity. Ya ayyuha nasu, O humanity, Allah says, we created you. Khalaqnakum, we created you from a thakar, that's a male, untha, a female. That's the first message that we get from the opening of this verse 13. In chapter 49. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female. I guess in common language that we are used to, we will say Adam and his wife, right? A male and a female. Adam and his wife. So from that, and then he said, but from that pair, from that male and female, then it expanded shu'uban, nations, wa'kabaila, and tribes. Tribes and nations. Or here it says nations and tribes. For a specific reason, for a express reason. And what is that reason? Lit ta'arafu. Lit ta'arafu. In the word arafu, you got Arafa, which means to acknowledge or get acquainted. Even for the Muslims who go to Hajj, their main focus of the Hajj is to go to Arafat. Arafat, Arafu, from the same root word. So Allah says that he made us nations and tribes so that we can lit the Arafu, get acquainted and acknowledge each other. But the highest position given in this verse is not a nation or a tribe or not our mother or our father, but it says the most honored. It says the most honored. It says in there, karahmakum, the most honored of you is in the sight of God, is the one that has the taqwa, that at kadkum. If you don't have that at kadkum, that God consciousness, then you are not the most honored by God. Your race, your religion, your gender, or how much money's in your pocket don't mean nothing if in the sight of God you don't have your taqwa together. You must have your taqwa together. Hold on for 1 second, please. There we go. I had to plug in my phone, so I make sure I don't run out of power, because I think we're going to have a good program today, inshallah. I do what we do. I really do believe what we are. So back to this reading, because this is a very important reading, And I think it's going to tie in with our conversation today about the flag for our community, our Muslim American flag. So let us continue with this thought that we have going here, this flow of information that we are trying to establish. The most honored of you in God's sight is not your nation or your tribe, though he made the nations and Allah made the tribes, right? Allah made the thakir, the male. He made the unsa, the female. So if and since Allah made it, it's good. The male is good. The female is good. The nation is good. The tribe is good. They're all good because Allah is good and only makes that which is good. Okay? I hope y'all can hear me out there. I think you can. Should be able to. So now, it's good. Allah is good and only makes that which is good. That's first and foremost. Right? Now, but the most honored of you is the one whose taqwa is right. So, dear loved listeners, this is a message to mankind, not just to Muslims. So everyone is being called to a God consciousness. Looking at these two words, nations and tribes, shu'uban. Shu'uban is a word that also ties in to like a tree that in the branches of the tree, they branch out, they extend out, they reach out. That's another concept for shu'uban. So it is speaking of a group of people that has established a nation. You are reaching out, extending it to future generations, children, grandchildren. Shu'uban, you are growing, you are extending, you are branching out as a community of people. Allah made us that way. That's how nations are formed. And when the nations go further and they interact, it's called international. You got nation, right? That's national, like America's a nation. But international, now you are expanding. That's still shu'uban. That's still shu'uban because you are branching out. You're branching out. Allah made us to branch out in different groups, divisions, subdivisions, and groups. That's tied in with shu'uban. So when Allah says he made us shu'uban, it is saying that he made people to extend, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, right? Cousins, uncles, aunties. That's the tribe extending out. You can, it's more of a futuristic growth and advancement. Then it says, "Wa kubailah." That word kubailah, in its root meaning, it means that which came before you, your parents, your grandparents, great grandparents, going back to your genealogy, so to speak, going back to your history as a people. It means that which came before. So Allah is saying that he made us as a people who have a history, a family tree that came before us. That's goodbye Allah. But the shu'uban is saying that which breaks us out and going out after us, our children, our grandchildren. Shu'uban. And for those who want to do the homework, shu'uban, you can look up for the triliteral root, shin, ayin, and ba. Sheen, eye, and back. I'm just saying that for those who want to do further study on it. But then from, it says, what, Kaba'ilah? Yes, so you look up Kaf, Ba, and Lam. It means before. It also means acceptance. It also means direction and focus. From this word Kaba'ilah, we also get Qibla. We face for Salat, Muslim for our Salat, our prayer. We face toward Mecca. But that's Qibla, it's a direction, we are facing. So the, from the word kibbalah or kibbalah, it also means to face something, to come face to face, or you're facing in a direction. Allah said to each of us, he gave our own kibbalah. We are focused and faced in a certain direction. So all these concepts are really good, Nations and tribes are good. Nations have flags. Nations have, across geography, the nations have flags that, that identify this people that can, and really many of these flags began back before mainly were fighting. And I've done a little research for the in the Encyclopedia Britannica. A couple of comments I think you may find interesting. So we have finished our Quran reading. We're going to get into our conversation today. And it says, and this is what I would get from the Encyclopedia Britannica. It says, flags were probably transmitted to Europe by the Saracens. Now, dear people, a Saracen is just another way of saying Muslims or Islam. It's commonly, they say Arabs, but they're referring to their Islamic mind. So they're saying their flag were probably to a transmitted to the Europeans by way of the Muslims. And it says, this is from the Britannica.com, it says, and the prohibition in Islam against using any identifiable image as idolatrous influenced their design. So what they're saying here, listen to what this Britannica is saying. It's saying that flags were probably introduced into Europe by way of the Muslims. And since Islam was against having images and idols on in their design, it says then that the reluctance on the part of Muslims had an influence on the flags of Europe. It goes on to say they are often mentioned in the early history of Islam. It says, and Islam may have gotten it from India. What it says here. He says, but Islamic flags are greatly simplified and appear to have been plain black or white or red. And it said black was supposed to have been the color of the Prophet Muhammad's banner. Okay. Now, they go on to say that green was the color of the Fatima dynasty, and eventually became the color of Islam. So it was a Islamic dynasty, the Fatima dynasty, who adopted color, the color green, and eventually the color green became the color of Islam. It goes on to say this, in adopting the crescent sign, you know, we have the crescent moon as you see on many Muslim flags. The crescent sign, however, about the year 1250. Now keep in mind, Prophet Muhammad was here in 650, right? He was born in 570, died in 632. So this is about 600 years after Prophet Muhammad. So it says, in adopting the crescent sign, however, about 1250, the Ottoman Turks apparently were reverting to an Assyrian sacred symbol of the 9th century BCE. This is important. We're getting to our flag, but I want to give some background, a very important background, because what we have in many Muslim countries around the world, I guess to put it point blank, is not Islamic. And here is the Encyclopedia Britannica laying it out, saying that green was the color of the Fatima dynasty and eventually became the color of Islam. But for its adopting the crescent, the crescent moon sign, came around 1250 from the Ottoman Empire. again, that is about 600 years after the passing of the Prophet Muhammad, is the moon added to the flag. Turks, the Ottoman Turks, apparently were reverting back to an Assyrian sacred symbol of the 9th century B.C. No, not saying A.D., we're saying B.C. That's 900 years before the time of Christ. And 1,500 years before Prophet Muhammad. This is where the Turks got that crescent moon from. Now they got the crescent moon and the star. They added the star later on, right? So he says, so Britannica, the Encyclopedia Britannica is saying, the crescent moon with or without an additional star of stars has since become the accepted official symbol of Islam. It became the accepted symbol of many Muslims in Islam. Yes, but it goes back 1,500 years. The Turkish people having that symbol goes back 15 centuries before Prophet Muhammad even came. And he never had a crescent moon star on his flag. It's important for us to understand. We're going to get into our flag here in a minute, inshallah. We got some good information. I don't like to rush. I don't like to rush what we're doing here. So we're going to time. We're going to get into some conversation. We're going to set phone calls here later on, but we got to deal with some important things first. Because we also going to play a live clip later, a live recording, I should say, from Imam Muhammad from back in 1976, where he explains our current flag. But let's do a little bit more background on it. We don't want to just rush into a good conversation. Now, this is Imam Muhammad speaking about that Turkish flag, which is an allusion to our flag, because Mr. Farah borrowed from the Turkish flag. And he began speaking about the arrogance. Arrogance, that's what brought Satan down, his arrogance. The Holy Quran says he, the Satan, became puffed up with pride. Okay. Now, he says, the arrogant Satan, he said, I won't stoop down to that. I won't bow down to that. I'm better than he. Yes. Now, Mr. Farah gave us a flag. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to think the greatest and the only flag known, the greatest flag in the universe, the Nation of Islam flag. But Imam says, whoever would give you that didn't understand the Quran. He said, let me explain it to you. He says, in Saudi Arabia, they have a lot of problems too, but they have been taken on the symbols of the sky for their national flag. You don't find that flag with the crescent moon in Saudi Arabia. Imam goes on to say, and their symbol, they got to be sword, telling the world, quote, we will cut you in defense of that. And Imam says, and they'll do it. Believe me, they will do it. Okay. But the Turkey has the flag nearest to the flag that we have, the Nation of Islam had. The only difference was that precedent, the moon is the other way around. The precedent, the moon, was reversed. Now, the Nation of Islam flag, the moon, crescent moon, is like to the right side and the star in the middle. The Turkish flag is the opposite. The crescent moon is to the left with the star in the middle. But the Imam was saying that the Turkish people, they got away from Islam. They got away from Islam. he said that they went towards nationalism. The Turkish people put down the Arabic. They resisted Islamic learning. They rejected the world opinion of Islam, of the religion of Islam. This is the Turkish people. This is, I'm reading Imam Muhammad's words. This was a talk that he done on the Savior's Day or Survival Day, February 24th, 1980, 5 years into his leadership. I want to put it in context so you know where I'm reading it from. And he said, the Turkish people put down the Arabic. They resisted Islamic leadership. They rejected the world opinion of Islam, religion of Islam. They copied the Western civilization and almost wiped out the traces of pure Islam in their country. This is this flag that we see that came 15 centuries before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this Turkish people, they didn't favor the religion. They call it, they are Muslims, but they copy Western civilization, what the Imam is saying. He says, and almost wiped out the traces of pure Islam in their country. And Farad gave us a similar flag that could lead to similar corruption. So he says, so there are people in Turkey who fought against this corruption. But he says, right now there's trouble in Turkey because some of them, the Turks, they come to the real Islam and want to hold others, and others want to hold on to corruption. So you got two forces working over there. And he said, big problems over there right now. It's like one day soon we might hear a big explosion over there in Turkey. And for those who follow the Turkish community know that what your man was saying here is taking place. So why did I go through all that? Because we have to have background for this conversation. The flag given to us, the Nation of Islam flag, was a reverse of the Turkish flag. The Turkish flag shows the moon on the left. That's an old moon, saying that they are at the end of their rule. And the Nation of Islam, having the moon reversed on the right side, that's a new moon. When you go look for the beginning of Ramadan, you're going to see the flag that's on the Nation of Islam flag with the crescent moon to the right, saying we're just beginning our work. And the Turkish community, you are ending your cycle. And for those of us who don't know, you must know world history and know one of the leading world powers in the world was the Turkish community, and it ended with World War I. That's the history. But by then, their flag with the moon and the star, it became so dominant in many Muslim communities. And many Muslim societies became so dominant, and even to this day, you see on top of masjids and mosques the crescent moon. And it has nothing to do with Islam, nothing at all to do with Islam. So our flag that we have now is different. I'm going to play a 15-minute clip, the audio so-so. I may see kind of raise the volume up. But this is a 15-minute clip of the on Imam Muhammad, and he's explaining to us the new flag, the flag that we have today in our communities, the flag with the book laid open in the form of a bird. So I welcome everyone listening. Get a pencil and paper if you want to. Take some notes. Take some notes, please. Because we're going to be reviewing Imam Muhammad's talk. And we're getting ready to play in about a half minute. We're getting ready to play it. So give you time to get some pen and paper and just take some notes on what Imam Muhammad explaining the flag we currently have for our Muslim American community under his leadership and the significant role that his father has in the development of this flag that we now have. So at this time here, we will play the clip, about almost 17 minutes, of Imam Muhammad speaking on the flag that we now have.
We have here a blackboard back there, and I might have need for that blackboard if somebody could get it out a little closer. But before we, just a moment, before we, I think it'll be easier since we have to do this anyway. We have a new creation here, and it is the creation, really, of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may peace be on him. But I think we'll be given the credit for putting this together. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and some of you will remember this, especially the sisters and brothers who were very close to him, he used to talk about a vision he had of a book. He said he had a vision of a book, and this book, its letters were dimensional. They had depth. And he said when he looked at the letters of the book, it appeared as though the letters were penetrating the book all the way through, going all the way through the book. And he said these letters, they had a glow on illumination. And he said the letter that he recognized, the only letter that he recognized, was the letter Lamb. Now, the letter Lamb in Arabic is L. The only letter that he could recognize was the letter Lamb or L. He said, and he recognized it because that letter seemed to have been all through. He just stood out, the letter Lamb. That Lamb, he said, seemed to have been standing out all through the writing. When he told me that, I listened very attentively to him, as I always do, especially when he seems to be really concerned about what he's talking about, engrossed, so to speak, in what he was talking about. So I listened to him very closely, and I was trying to, well, interpret the vision that he was telling me, because he it was at the table one day, he told me, but I'm not the only one, others were there then, he told this to me. So I said to myself, what can this stand for? What can this represent? The Lamb. And it came to my mind, well, maybe it means that there, I know there's no book coming to Muslims after Holy Quran, but the Holy Quran. I know that. So I knew it couldn't mean a physical book coming after the Holy Quran to replace the Holy Quran. Although he has said things to that effect, but I understood him. I knew he didn't actually mean what he was saying. He meant something else, a great understanding, a new way of looking at the book was coming. So in our life, it would be like a new book. You understand? Right. So I knew that. So I'm trying to figure out now, what did he mean by a new book is coming, he said. And this book had these letters, and the letter Lamb stood out. Then it came to me, I said, my father's telling us that the new book is to come is really a new book to us because we have never known the Holy Quran. We have known the Bible. We have preached the Bible from the Rasta. And most of us know much more about the Bible than we know about the Holy Quran. In fact, for most of the years of his leadership, he didn't allow the Holy Quran to be preached or just hand out freely among the believers. But he always held it up high as the book. Is that right? He said the Holy Quran is the book. So that's the fuel book. But he never encouraged us to really get into it. So his vision of a new book to me was the vision of the Holy Quran, but it was vague in my mind. The ideas or the thing that I was seeing, it hadn't really taken complete form. It was kind of vague in my own mind. I put it aside. So we were coming up with some ideas for the blackboard, because I came to understand that the blackboard drawing that we had been using was out of date. It needed to be updated. We needed a new drawing on the blackboard. So while I was trying to think of a new drawing for the blackboard, a picture came to form. And when it came to form, I said, well, this shouldn't only be a drawing for the blackboard. I said, really, we have to make another drawing for the blackboard. This drawing should be for something else. Now, just pull the curtains back there, and we want to show them what we have here. Now, let me explain to you what this is. You can see it's a flag, right? All right. The flag is a book. The book is the Holy Quran. And on the flag is La ilaha illallah, which means there is nothing worshipable, worthy of worship as a God but Allah, which means the God. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. Now if you have some knowledge of the contents of the Holy Quran, you know that this first principle, our first kalima, pillar of faith, is all through the Holy Quran from cover to cover. This fundamental belief here goes throughout the Holy Quran. It dominates the whole Holy Quran. And if you count the letters, or the number of times that the letter Lam is repeated in that kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you will see that the letter Lam, or L, stands out more than any other letter in that kalima. And when you look at it, you see Lam before you see anything else. It begins with Lam, La, Ilah, another Lam, La ilaha illa, another Lam, Allah, two more Lam, Muhammadur Rasul, one more lamb, and Allah, again, two more lambs. So the letter lamb is all through it, and it stands out, and this kalima is all through the Holy Quran. You see? So this was his vision. I don't want to take the credit for this. I think Maulana Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him, to get the credit for this vision. And I think... I think that's a flag that you all can identify with and be proud of. A new world needs a new flag. You know, the Muslim world has come to be identified with the symbol or the emblem, the crescent, star. Is that right? Now, when you read the Holy Quran, you don't find any crescent and star in there. Islam is a simple religion. What I mean by simple, it is not a religion that is covered up with symbolism, ritualism. It's a religion that comes straight forward and straight out in the open with what it's all about, you understand? But what brought on this flag with the emblem, the star and crescent in it, was really the crusades that came against, the Christian crusades that came against Islam. And the leaders of the army, they carried the cross. So the Muslims reacting to that raised the crescent, which was a better symbol. Because the cross represents, as the old spiritual song that our forefathers used to sing and mothers used to sing, suffering, shame, and death, you see? So here was an army representing a nation or a society of people that held sacred an emblem of suffering, shame, and death. And couldn't see the ugliness of what they were doing. All they knew was that it was Jesus that they identified with. But when you really go into that and think about it, the lifting of the cross as something sacred really is a disgrace to the beautiful world that Jesus brought into existence. It's a disgrace to it. The emblem itself brings to mind death and misery. It doesn't bring to mind life. You have to interpret to arrive at life as a meaning. You have to connect Jesus, his purpose, his sacrifice, his teaching, with that emblem. But how many of us will see the cross and do all of that interpreting? When we see it, we see something that was on graveyard, or something that is on graveyard, pardon me. And when we see it, we think of the suffering and misery that Jesus had to bear. So to us, it's an emblem of death and shame and suffering. Is that right? So it is a better the emblem in the crescent, the star in the crescent, than it is in the cross. Why? Because what the Muslim was saying to the Christians is this: you lift up death. You see death as glory. But God has pointed out in his scriptures that his glory is readily seen, and not in the grave, but in the heavens. Read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God never points to the graveyard to show us his glory. He says, look at the heavens, how they are lifted up in glory. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Is that right? All right. So this is what God does. He directs our minds to the heavens to show us the sign of his glory. So the Muslim was saying to the Christians, the sign of God's glory is not death, but life. And the sun is the source of life in the physical world. And the moon is a necessity. Is that right? All right. And the stars are very useful to man, because they direct his path at sea and through the land. Is that right? So they raised a much better sign. But they didn't raise that sign upon orders from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. They raised it as an answer to the cross that was raised in war against Muslims. You see? What should we really exalt? What should we really raise? It's knowledge. Why? Because we know can't save humanity. Pictures and signs can't save humanity. But men can look at the star and the moon, the crescent up there in the sky, all their life for generation after generation, until the land grow old and big. That doesn't mean that they are going to be lifted as a society. Is that right? The savage, the primitive man and woman, they see the sun, moon, and star. But what has made the difference? Knowledge. Some men have seen and gone into and come out with knowledge. Is that right? So the book of knowledge for the Muslims is the Quran. If we exalt anything other than knowledge, we exalt the wrong thing. You say, well, what about God? God is not something that we know in any sense other than in a body of knowledge. We don't know God in flesh. We don't know God in symbol. We know God in knowledge. All praises be to Allah. You may say, well, I feel God in my flesh, and that's how I know God. That's the beginning of knowledge. Feelings are the beginning of knowledge. But you can't say you know until you grow up a little bit taller than feelings.
Hi, alhamdulillah. Yeah, that was Imam Muhammad speaking about and really introducing to our community the flag that we have today. And he was showing us how that the picture we have is the Quran, is the book laid open. But if you also notice that that's the green part, I'm hoping that most of us listening have seen the picture or have the picture of our flag with them. The green part is the book laid open, and that book is the Holy Quran. So the Muslim flag that we have in our association with Imam Muhammad, the emblem on it is not the moon or the star. It is the Quran itself. And that says a lot. For this picture. Now, if you look at it also again, there's the writing on it is gold. And for those of us who over the years have followed the language of Imam Muhammad, you know that gold, he had told us, is a sign of wisdom. Golden wisdom. And there's a layer of gold on top of the green. And then there's rays of light. That's like knowledge emanating or radiating from the book. The book is spreading the gold, spreading the knowledge. Also, if you look in at the, when the flag is shown, the book is always, the green and the gold portion, is always in the upper half of the red background. A lot of people may not know that, but it's the symbol of a bird in flight. So it's in the higher portion of that of the background. So if you have a flag, the Muslim flag, and it's not showing the book in the top half, then you may want to change that if you can. You may want to look at a different way of doing that, because it should show the book, the green and the gold, always in the upper portion, because the sound of a bird is saying that it's in flight, but the real message in that is saying that the knowledge will lift you up and take you higher. The knowledge will lift your mind, lift your soul, lift your spirit. So we're going to open the phone lines up for want to hear from you, and we will comment as we go. But it is important that we know what our flag is, but also what is the meaning of it. And I know that recording from Imam Muhammad, that was done in February 1976, like 47 years ago. So the quality was not that good. And the language that he used was really some of the transitional language, transitioning our community from the Nation of Islam into al-Islam. But I still believe that the beauty of the message, and I think if we talk today and have engagement from our listeners, those who call in will bring out more information and more insights. So our topic today is on the origination and the history of our Muslim American flag. So feel free to press 1 on your phone, and we will work you into our conversation on that topic, inshallah. So we go to our first caller here. Caller here is from 818. From 818.
See, all this stuff is by design. You understand?
Hello?
It's all by design. It's like, okay, Fontana's a lower class place, so let's put all the apartments there. Let's make...
Okay. They were already talking when I turned them on, so I'm going to pass on them. Let me be nice. Let me try one more time. Caller from 818.
They leave, but they ain't cheap.
Hello? Okay. We're going to pass on 818. I think he's multitasking on us. So we go to our next caller here from 616. Caller from 616. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. My brother, it's Brother Norman.
My brother Norman. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Praise be to Allah. I just got in the car right when the man was talking about becoming acquainted with God, you know, with the knowledge.
Oh, okay.
I got to thinking, you know. Well, before we get into that, I'm wearing that flag now. I always got that emblem. I put it on the chain. And I wear it. But that's, you know, what you're talking about is some awesome. It's just awesome. But when he got, went to talking about acquiring, you know, I got to thinking about coming up, being young, how your parents talk to you, you know, and teaching you all of that. And then as you get older, you know, they constantly, you know, inspiring you, talking to you about getting in school, acquiring the knowledge, and, you know, acquiring knowledge. And, you know, you build up your knowledge. And then you can, you know, not only that, you can start seeing things and looking past things. And then you get into the religion. But it all comes, you know, gradually through knowledge. But I was thinking about that. I said, you know, that's really something, you know, now because we're speaking a lot more now with the young people. God, you know, when you acquire that knowledge, is always encouraging you to learn, you know, when you're talking about reading.
Right.
But Satan, no, Satan don't want you to get no knowledge. Hell, he wants you to stay ignorant and stupid. And then, you know, look at him as God. And then they give us so many of these images, you know, to worship. And, you know, the majority of them is negative. And so once they get you to, you know, caught up on that negative, it just makes it harder and harder to see. But we thank Allah for Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, may Allah, you know, grant him peace and paradise in the next world. And but it's a blessing.
Yes,
I just
sir.
Got in. I just wanted to share that. Let's acquire the knowledge, and Allah have blessed us with Imam Muhammad. So let's always take some time and study what he gives us, because it comes through, you know, Allah, and we're thankful for that. And then not only that, like the leaders in our community, you know, communicating with them, because, you know, knowledge comes in degrees, and a lot of us have more knowledge than each other in degrees. and that's how you grow, and that's how you move, you know, and you stay away from a lot of those unforeseen situations, and then let's take what's given to us and then pass it on to the next generation, and they'll pass it on to the next generation. I just want to say that I'm in my car now,
yes,
but
sir.
I always, you know, just a blessing that I tune in. It's a blessing what you're talking about now. May Allah bless you.
Alhamdulillah. I like my slide. Thank you, Brother Norman. And please know, Brother Norman, we will, I plan to play that clip again at the end of the program, but it's when the man first introduced the flag to us, and he was describing how his father was a major influence, you know, for the flag that we have now. And so, and so we will play that again, inshallah. And also, you know,
well,
this show is being recorded. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's how we got what we got. You know, I used to always think about, you know, I always had this question. You know, when you're going to the church and all that, I always would ask myself this question. I said, well, you know, Jesus must be black, because when you read in there, they don't like him. They work against him. You know, so you know, when you're young, you'd be thinking about that. And then, because you're looking at, you know, I'm looking at my mother. She's out of Mississippi. She is out of Mississippi. My father's out of Mississippi. And, you know, he talk about how we was treated. And, you know, but then when my brother took me to the temple and the brother started teaching, you know, back then under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, hey, man, I left out of there a Muslim and still one. It's a blessing.
Alhamdulillah. That's right. And the blessing is in the continuity, you know, and that's what Imam Muhammad was keeping before us, that the flag we have now is the continuity of the knowledge of the Honorable Imam Muhammad. You know, so when, yeah, and he mentioned that when he doing the introduction, that his father had that dream or vision of seeing the letter lamb in his eyes. And the man, he advanced it. You know, there's also Allah. There's a lot of lambs. If you see Muhammad Rasulullah, there's lambs. So, yes, the man saying, his design of the flag was based upon his father's vision. Alhamdulillah.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Brother Norman Muhammad of Michigan. He's the Dawa man for our community. Dawa means propagation, the teaching of the religion. So, dear people, press one on your phone and we will work you into this conversation, because we need to know as believers, you know, not just that is our flag, but we need to know what is the history of the flag, how did it come to be, what do it mean, what do the colors mean. And oh, the red background, it stands for the sky, for the sky. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that as well. So we will continue on up the line. Go to our next caller here from 618. Caller from 618-580. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. Askia, East St. Louis, Illinois.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam Askia, East St. Louis. Yes, sir. How
Illinois
today,
side.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Illinois side.
Brother Imam.
You're not on the Missouri side. You're on the Illinois side. I got you.
That's the distinction. I'm just not. Yes, sir. Brother Imam, thank you for sharing that recording and your introduction. And it's so important that we pass on this knowledge, because they have a term, plant the flag. Is to establish yourself in a place that helps to,
yes, sir.
Planting our flag helps to establish Al-Islam development in the West in this unique way.
Mm.
And it is such a blessing that you shared that. It was quite touching hearing the Imam sharing his father's vision and putting the emphasis on it that he did, that it just lets us know that that's the ruh of Allah that was in Imam Warzi Muhammad, and we can inherit aspects of that. But for him to respect that and follow it as he did to bring that out is very touching. Brother Imam,
yes,
and factual. And factual. What I wanted to just briefly make a statement on is that I love history, and I was looking at the development of Al-Islam, and I had a Turkish doctor for our children, a husband and wife doctor. They were from Turkey, and they expressed the history that was somewhat harsh under the Ottoman Empire. And we see some of the effects of that, of what happened. And injustice is injustice, but it carried over with what happened with the Serbs and the Bosnians and the Croatians. I'm not saying it correctly, but that situation there after the Soviet Union failed, and it brought 70,000 Bosnians to St. Louis. There's more Bosnians in St. Louis than any place except Bosnia. From that,
wow.
But what was going on was the hardship under the Turks. And there was expressed a lot of good intermingling of education and so forth. But if you look, you'll see the killing of sons because of inheritance or the role of Khalifa. It was a lot of barbaric things that took place. And some rationalize that dealing with harsh people, you see those kind of things happen because Europeans wasn't no joke. But anyway, brother Imam, Imam Muhammad helped us to respect the good that comes from those communities as well as our history. And so I conclude with that. It's a whole lot in what you shared, and I thank you for your introduction and sharing of that recording. We should share it with others in the community and that are not Muslims as well, because this is a unique to this continent, this contribution. Thank you, Brother Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Imam Askia. And I'm glad you mentioned that part that you do of a Turkish family that could give some real history on that, because others too, but these things that we just don't know until we can get it firsthand from those who actually lived it. And again, I'm like you, and go back to history and study World War One. And at the time it was really a fight against the Turkish influence. But the Imam pointed out that the Turkish domination was not really based on Islam, but upon a Western thinking or a Western influence. And so as Muslims, we can't afford to have that as a symbol for a flag for us. And Imam said, of course, during the Crusades, when the Muslims lifted it up, then it was there and as a opposition to the cross. But Imam, if you listen to his whole talk, and that piece I played, you can find it on YouTube. I got it off of YouTube. I don't have the clippings. Go to YouTube and do a search, Imam Muhammad Muslim flag or something. It may come up, because as Brother Imam Askia said, it needs to be shared far and wide, and in particular within our community, within the followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Many of our youth they know that's our flag and they respect it, they have it in their house, but they don't know the history of that flag and why it was changed. So, alhamdulillah. So, dear people, if you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your phone and we will bring you into the conversation. We're talking about the origination and the history of our Muslim American flag. We got a caller here from Indianapolis, 317. Call for 317-400. Thanks for calling Worth Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please, and your comment? Okay. We'll put them back on hold. Okay. I'm going to try this one brother. I guess it's a brother. It's 818-400. Maybe they get back with us now. 818-400. You have a comment for us for our show? Okay. All right. Now, I guess they don't. Okay. We will continue our conversation on this flag, its importance. You know, we heard what Imam Muhammad said in introducing the flag. He says, a new world needs a new flag. And what came to my mind from hearing that, if you follow, and Imam taught us to follow the logic to his logical conclusion, follow the knowledge to his logical conclusion. And when I hear him say a new world needs a new flag, what came to my mind was that a new people need a new flag. We need a new flag, a flag that identifies who we are. If you ever been to Hajj, and you will see the various groups, maybe 10, 20, 50, 100 in the group, and they, the person up front will carry their particular flag to represent their country, and it's, so that they can always follow the leader, So we are a new people, and we have a new flag, and we really appreciate this blessing that we have with this new flag to give us a purpose and give us a direction. Now, within Islam, we don't have images. We don't have idols. You find Arabic calligraphy from Quranic verses, and that's very important for us to know as well, because it's about education. It's about knowledge. So that the flag that Imam Muhammad presented to us, matter of fact, 47 years ago this month is when the flag was introduced. So that's another thing to note, dear people, that our flag, our Muslim American flag with the red background and the Quran, the green Quran laid open, is this month 47 years old. So it has longevity. It has life, meaning, and purpose. And that is what has given it its longevity. And it should be around for a long, long time. And I'm going to go out and say one more statement. This is Michael Sayer speaking. I know of no other Muslim flag that is more Islamic than this flag, even the flag of Saudi Arabia, because they have a sword on their flag. And I'm sure it has meaning, it has beauty, it has purpose. I'm not putting it down. I'm not putting it down at all. But I'm just saying I don't see one as more Islamic in line with Quran and the life model of Muhammad than the flag that we have. Go on to our next caller. I think I recognize this number. 706-627. You're all worth my people. Can you give us your first name and your city and your statement of question? And also your background. Wait a minute before you get in. I can hear you must be on speakerphone or Bluetooth because I can hear an echo. You need to come off your whatever system you're on and talk right into the phone, please.
Okay, yeah, I'm talking to the phone. I don't know what it could be. You still hear it?
Go ahead. Yes, sir. No, I don't.
Okay. Yes, sir. Excuse me. Brother Muhammad from the community of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. And I just basically want to cover the whole beginning where you started at, where it said honesty, you know. And I think all the way down to our flag, when we understand that it's the best, no doubt about that. It's the best expression that has come out of the inspiration that man has received from Allah. If we need those things to get us to move, if we need those things to get us to move, because we know a flag is either to start something or to let you know when you end something. It's one of the general ideas they have of what a flag is. But honesty, we have to ask ourselves, are we honest with all these mercy and all this blessing, all this knowledge and education that Allah has given us? Are we honest with our own selves about establishing this final opportunity for humanity to see a flag in our deeds and actions of having the model community of Prophet Muhammad established, the best community brought out to worship Allah in the correct way and give man the opportunity to repent, and that's all of us, and to put ourselves in a situation to where we are of the best mode in our worship, in our prayers to Allah. So honesty, you know, is translated. We also know what it means, sincerity. We have to ask ourselves, those of us who are out front, You know, as leaders, as imams, or heads of states, or whatever the case might be, are we honest about showing the people that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger? And, you know, and that there's only one community, one soul, one revelation. Show them the tawheed of our honesty by first living it, not practicing it, not expounding on it, and having reciting over and over the oneness of the Quran, the oneness of Almighty God Allah, the creator of the Quran, and everything we see and don't see. We have to first accept that our progress is based upon honesty. So when we look around the United States of America and around the world, how much of our influence that has been trusted in us now by Almighty God Allah, because he trusts us so that we can trust him, you know, in our creation. He gives us that free thinking and that free will to understand that and get in accord with it in okay. Allah. I just want to say that. Thank you much, too.
Thank you very much. Okay, the conversation is on the flag. Now, the honesty of people, we covered that. We read in the Quran, it says the best of you is those of you who are God conscious. But this conversation today is not about, well, leaders honest or not. That should be understood. That's automatic. You shouldn't even have to mention that. The conversation is about our flag, the history of it. Who knows the history? Has someone learned something new today? You can press one and share that. We can also talk about how we're going to share with our children and our students and our members, our new members, and by extension, society as a whole, the beauty of our flag, the meaning of our flag. Now, you can go to many clubs, associations that have flags and emblems to represent them and what they were about. Very wise people. Because it captures in that flag, it captures their history and their purpose and their meaning. So this is our conversation today. I hope that all of us, leaders or not, that we are sincere and that we are honest. That's our goal as human beings. I don't care what your religion may be, it has to be about being sincere and being honest. So you're listening to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Press one on the phone and join us in conversation about this beautiful flag that we have. I don't know of any other Muslim community within America that has a flag that is recognized nationwide, really international. Recognized international. Okay. Let me see. Imam Muhammad's words again. This is from January 7th, 1994. And he was speaking on nationalism and al-Islam. Nationalism and al-Islam. And it happened this, it was a two-day lecture. And I remember that lecture, too. I was there both days. Very, very cold day in Chicago that day. Out of snow and cold. He was speaking at the Malcolm X College at the University of Chicago, speaking on nationalism and Islam. So he's talking about the community, the cross and the crescent. And so he made a comment here. So here come all of the volunteer soldiers of God. And they are going to bring the Armageddon on. Nationalism. Nationalism. He asked the question, what makes a religious person, a sincere religious person now, getting really seriously interested in nationalism? He says the day of Armageddon is close. The day of Armageddon is here. We are told that the time of Armageddon had come, and it was the crescent against the cross. of the cross against the crescent. He said, as a boy, I used to sit in the temple on the seats and look at the blackboard. One side of the blackboard was painted. The other side was for work, for writing and putting notes and all that, and making figures or whatever the minister had, he wanted to get to do to get his message or his speech across. He said, usually the meeting started with the painted side facing the audience. Newcomers would come there, and what they'll see was one of us with a rope, a hangman's noose around his neck, hanging from a tree, and right next to him, a cross. On the other side, you will see a flag. It looked like the Turkish flag, the flag of the Turks, the nation. It was the Nation of Islam flag. It had the letters F, J, E, and I. F is in Frank, J is in Jump, E is in Edward, and I is in Islam. On this corners, the four corners, the letters stood for freedom, F for freedom, J for justice, E for equality, and I for Islam. The Islam was in the staff or the pole of the flag. Islam was in the staff of it, and freedom, justice, equality were on the other three corners. There was a writing between the two drawings. The writing said, which one will win the war of Armageddon? That was used for years. Yes, that was used for years before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stopped using it. He discontinued it. So, again, just some history, just some knowledge for us to reflect on, that even in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was bringing that use of that image to an end. And I recall as a teenager when I used to go visit Muhammad's temples here in Indianapolis and also in Nashville, Tennessee, I would see that image, the blackboard showing that. But our flag is more universal. The flag of Imam Muhammad that he gave us, that he got the concept from his father, is more universal. It's to bring us together in the human family. And that's the focus here that we wanted to share today. I hope this has been helpful. I hope you have learned something from it. This program is being recorded. It's being archived. And if you have the link, you can listen to this again later on. Now, I think we may have one more caller here. And I can't wrap up. I don't want to, but if you press one on your phone, we can continue this conversation on and on. But this caller here is from Indianapolis, 317-709. Thanks for calling in to Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city and your question or comment, please?
Brother Dennis, Indianapolis. And I remember in 1974, college, or 42nd College, we would see the freedom, justice, and equality for the black man here in America, and also the sign of the sun, moon, and star. Because number one, when you walked in that temple, you were definitely knew you were there to learn. Because that was the icon of the symbol of this world. Freedom, justice, and equality. And of course, Islam, it was for the freedom of all humanity. Now, the symbols represent many qualities within your life. Because you got to remember, there also was a hanging noose. They have many symbols up there. Many symbols on this blackboard. So you got to remember. Once you went in there, you had to understand it. If you were there for a purpose, everybody, Islam is a ladder of life. Everybody doesn't do the same job. You might start off as a newspaper boy. Then for then, you'd be surprised. Look at Muhammad Ali. Look at the great people just like Malcolm X. You got to remember, once you accept the teachings, there's a lot of endeavor to you in life. Because number one, once you come in, you also had to be diligently and ready for a task. Because once you wrote that letter, you accept your own, meaning one thing. You're on a journey for justice and equality. So I'll begin with that, brother.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you a question. So, let me ask you, what are your thoughts about our current flag?
Flag, I remember when it was brought into the community. The Quran, and also the way it was opened up, and then the symbols within that. So you got to remember, within that, that brought in a lot of interfaith, and also brought in a lot of humanity, and it brought in a lot of people understanding what the Quran meant. See, the seal of the prophets is one flag itself. It separates the world community as Islam, it separates now Muhammad's community, and also separated the fact that the Quran was a seal of Prophet Muhammad.
Good point. Because that is the final revelation. That is the final revelation. Alhamdulillah. All right, Brother Dennis, thank you very much.
Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your comments today. We got another caller coming in. Hey, as long as y'all keep calling in, I mean, pressing one on the phone, I keep it going. I share what I got to share today. So we're going to go to our next caller from 310. Caller from 310. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please, and your comment or question?
As-salamu alaykum. Brother Sami from Los Angeles.
Like my son, Brother Sami from L.A.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, buddy. Man, I'm about yourself.
You know me, I'm doing. I just ain't done. We cannot stop now.
No, sir, not at all. This fascinating conversation, buddy, ma'am, in the history of the flag, because I always had a cursory, just a basic understanding of how we had this flag, you know, but it was much more in depth hearing the imam comment on it and his lecture on it, actually. I wanted to ask you a question about the background, the red background. You said it represents the sky, I think you said.
No, the sun.
And if it...
The sun.
I'm sorry. The sun, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I can understand it more now. Okay, because I had a question, being that the sky was blue, why would it be red? But yes, sir, I understand now. That was my question. I misunderstood.
Let me say, too, that maybe I mistakenly said sky. If I did, I apologize. But I meant to say...
Yes,
sun, you know, for, and that also is a source of a light, a source of knowledge as well, you know. So, and that's in the bird is in flight, you know, so it's lifting up. The book itself has light, and the background is light, in the sense of meaning knowledge.
Yes, sir. And I can understand it now. Being that the red background represents the sun, because I remember back in the day, in the military, it was called the one military department was called Big Red One, and that represented the sun as well. So I can understand that. That's where they got that from too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, no, and really, and a lot of what Imam Muhammad gave us was introductory knowledge in the sense that he was teaching so many people at one time, and he was going into details quite a bit, but even the details, each detail opened up an opportunity for the thinking student to go into that knowledge and get more knowledge, you know, so...
Yeah.
And knowledge grows, and this flag is full of wisdom and full of knowledge, and it grows, you know. So we have to look at that. And again, with us as being a new people, we need to have a flag that identifies this new creation of a new people.
Yes,
now,
sir.
We respect all the flags, you know, and we respect the American flag. You know,
yes,
we respect our flags of all the countries, and America is our home, and so we respect the American flag for its intent. And just a little segue, people look at the American flag and they want to burn it. That's their choice. They want to stomp on it. That's their choice. Some want to hang it upside down as a sign of distress. That's their choice. But if you realize that the flag is only a symbol, they're speaking to a higher message, then we can get a lot of wisdom even from the American flag. So
yes,
let us be students all the time. You know, so when they said I pledge allegiance to the flag, it's not talking about the cloth, if it's cotton or if it's nylon. It's not referring to the red or the white or the blue. You're not, the colors don't mean nothing. But if you listen to the words, if you allow your mind to follow the words and listen for the logic that's within the Pledge of Allegiance. Let me repeat that. Follow the logic that's within the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. Because you get to one point that tells you, it says, for the liberty and justice for which it stands, for which it represents. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, all right, United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. That part there, I'm just hold that part, for which it stands. It ain't the color.
Right.
It ain't upside down. Wow. It ain't the red, white, and blue. It ain't the stripes, it ain't the stars. What do it stand for?
That's right.
And then we can begin, if we look at it from that perspective, I believe then we can get more from it and not get hung up on it. And then we, as students, now this is for the students of Imam Muhammad. When he picked up the flag, he was trying to tell us, he wouldn't pick it up for no white America, no black America, or slavery, or just, he was looking at what is the purpose that it stands for. It says liberty.
Right.
Okay. Is that Islamic? Yep. Justice. Is that Islamic? Yes. Okay. Liberty and justice for all. One nation under God. Is that Islamic? Yes. The Ummah Islamia. One nation under God. With liberty and justice for. Okay. Those principles. Again, forget the color, forget the shape, forget the stars, forget the stripes. It's intent. It's purpose. It's there anything in that allegiance that is against Islam? And I leave that up for the person to ponder, you see. So we respect now because, inshallah, have a better understanding as to the foresight. Yes, that I was, you know, we're nearsighted. We're going to see in front of us. But the long-range vision that Imam Muhammad had in lifting that flag up, it wasn't for no white folks. It wasn't for no Democrat Party, Republican Party. There was a deeper message, a lot of wisdom in it. Likewise for our flag. There's a lot of wisdom in this flag. A ton of wisdom. And it's not stagnant wisdom. It is pregnant, organic wisdom in this flag. So, alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Bring the question one
yes,
other. Bring to mind one other question. If we had our flag, just flying our flag, say, for instance, and we had it on the same pole as the U.S. flag, would it be underneath the U.S. flag, or should we have a separate, say, a pole to fly our flag? Is that any significance to that? I was just curious.
Yes, sir. Well, the way that I dealt with that, because I had the flag in my front yard, and I put two poles up. And I researched flag etiquette. I looked up United States flag etiquette.
Right.
And Muslim Journal follows that same etiquette. Because on the masthead of Muslim Journal, you have both flags. And the USA etiquette, that you said when you have two flags, if they're on the same level, the American flag must be to, I'm trying to find Moshe Jordan nearby, whatever, how Moshe Jordan got it perfect. So, yeah, so on the left-hand side should be the American flag, and on the right-hand side should be the other flag. But I would never, just me personally, I would never put both flags on the same pole because the etiquette says if they're on the same pole, the American flag must be on top, and I'm not putting the American flag on top of Lay Lehi is a lot.
That's right.
Cancel
that's
that
right. That's, that, that was my
so
statement.
So I dug two holes. I put, go ahead.
That was
I'm
my
sorry,
statement also, but I just had to ask, you know, just to kind of clear my mind, because I would never do that personally either. Yes, sir. Thank you for that clarification.
Yes, sir. Well, good question, because this is on your mind. It's on someone else's mind, too. And so, so we thank you for that question because it was right on time.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Hey, Brother Sami from Los Angeles, California. Are we going to go to a 414? Excuse me. I got to give me a little juice here. I've been talking a lot. I ain't going to say talking too much. I'm going to say talking a lot. Okay, 414-397. Thanks for calling, Words Made People. Can you give us your name and your city? First name and your city, please.
Jeffrey, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Assalamu alaikum. Milwaukee, how you doing, sir? Alaikum assalam.
I'm doing well, brother. Thank you for your efforts.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that I'm looking forward to being in your city in a few weeks, inshallah.
Well, alhamdulillah, you beat me to the punch, brother. That's one of the reasons I called. Hopefully,
I'm
we'll
sorry.
Be happy to see you brothers, too.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
It's always,
brothers,
always, Mikhail, it's always a blessing to be in your presence, brother.
Likewise. Likewise. I enjoy being in your presence, going to that Chinese restaurant. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have a comment about the,
thank
about
you,
the flag, man. About our flag?
Well, like the brother said, I think you said it. I respect the American flag as a United States military veteran, but I wouldn't put our national flag, the Nation of Islam flag, I'm going to refer to it as, over the American flag or under the American flag. Either be over it or, like you said, brother, you have two separate flag poles. Yeah, it'll be on equal status. And
yes,
maybe
sir.
The national our national yes, flag be an inch higher.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Trying to be funny,
yes, sir. Man. That's right. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy for us. Allah made it easy for us. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna play the recording by Imam Muhammad once again. And yes, we come to the close for today. I see my brother got his hand up again, my brother from Georgia. I'm going to take his call. I guess hope that the comments be on topic. Please stay on topic. The topic is our Muslim American flag. And we're going to go to our next caller. It's our brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. You have a comment, please? Another comment?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to say a thanking, because we know the flag also gives us the freedom that Imam wanted us to have by following the guidance of Allah. Well, as you know now, red, you know, historically has always represented blood or blood ties or the showing the human symbol. We know the green has always been a sign of earth or virtuousness or sector, but gold, the revelations coming out of the Quran, you know, as we know, is knowledge, you know, it's revelation. So when we sat back and pondered what was Imam, by Allah's permission, also telling us when we think more of the colors of the flag. The revelation, because is blood a better concept of the sun, or is the golden arrows or light that's coming out of the Quran, which is knowledge. And then, you know, the writing is also in the same color, letting us know that it's a higher knowledge, you know, that's coming from Allah through this book of guidance for the human family. Could be one of the things we could just ponder. Just want to say that. But I do want to make sure that we know red, when you look around on different flags around the world, that people always use it to show some kind of community or human ties of the representation of that flag for them people, you know?
Yes, sir.
And showing their unity.
The blood for the social side of man, the social aspect. And that's something that we can think about. You know, I can't say, I'm not going to say yay or nay, but I never heard Imam Muhammad give that. This, if the book is in flight, the Quran is in flight, it's a upliftment. So I don't want to get too far and say that, but it is a spiritual book that's lifting us up, you know. So if it's a spiritual book on a social order, that's plausible. That's could be or could not be. But I do appreciate you sharing that, because that's just how we grow in knowledge. So we go to our next caller here, 317-400. You're on Work Made People. Can you give us your name and your city, please, and your comment on our topic? Okay. All right. We go to our next caller here.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Brother Daniel from Indianapolis. And
yes,
I just wanted to say, when you were talking about the blackboard with the two different flags, one was freedom, freedom, justice, equality, and Islam with the crescent and the star. My father was a minister of under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1972. And he planted that flag, and when we moved to Indianapolis, he put it on our wall, and I still have it. But as far as our new flag, the sun in red and the green represents knowledge, and as far as it being, excuse me.
Yeah, the gold is for wisdom, not knowledge, wisdom.
Wisdom. And the green is for knowledge. And the symbol of the bird flying up, that's for the growth of knowledge.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, right. Yeah, so, you know, it's a continuation. We should not see a disconnect between the Nation of Islam flag and this flag, in the sense of that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's wisdom is expressed in the new flag. That's the point Imam Muhammad was really bringing out, that the knowledge of his father was being brought out in this new flag that we have. So we thank you, Brother Daniel, for your comments today. Okay.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Can we go to our next caller here? This caller here is from 773-671. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
Alaykum as-salam.
Shakira in Chicago.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Sakira, how you doing?
I'm good. Praise be to Allah. Thank him always for his mercy and his blessings. I was calling. I tried to call you on the other number, but I tried several times, but I have you now. So I want to...
The other number?
Yeah, it's 773-892 number. That's one I was listening to, and I kept putting the one in, and it didn't work. I sent you a text message and everything, but anyway, I use this number. This
okay.
is my home number, and it's kind of scratchy, so I pray a lot the listeners would be able to hear what I'm saying. I want to comment
yes,
on the flag. Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am, very well.
Okay. So I want to comment on the flag that Imam Muhammad had given us for the community, and I want to say the explanation of the vision coming from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he given Honorable Elijah Muhammad that in him pondering and figuring out the vision that had come to Honorable Elijah Muhammad definitely had to come from the Creator, whom we called Allah. And Imam Muhammad understanding that and giving us his guidance, his mercy, the Quran, and the illumination of the words that's coming from his guide and things that is represented within our flag that came from a man that Allah had blessed with certain things, and we sometimes, unfortunately, excuse him from being a Muslim and from history, that we have to know how valuable that vision. Imam Muhammad saw the vision and understood it and gave it to us as a symbol for as our life.
I have a question. When you say exclude him from history, are you referring to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Yes, Imam Muhammad. But definitely the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he is a historical figure. In American history,
that's right.
He is not included. The movement, the Nation of Islam, under his leadership is not included. And then we'll go to Imam Muhammad. Mm. Also, but we are talking about the vision of there is no God but the Creator, whom we call Allah. This is historical all over the world. He saw this vision. It represented, but he is excluded even when it comes down to the history of Islam as the Muslims see it. Even if we were talking about maybe we could discuss how we share that with our children in the future and keeping it on as long as, and I heard, and it kind of bothered me and giving an assignment to a student, and, you know, with the history, this is Black or African-American History Month, and nowhere they ever mention the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Scholar Muhammad. They kind of doing Muhammad Ali, putting him out, Malcolm, they kind of mentioned. The sisters were selling a calendar, and it's a Islamic calendar, and they gave the history of Islam in America. Nowhere did they mention Honorable Elijah Muhammad, didn't mention Imam Muhammad, and they briefly mentioned Malcolm X. And I called to the attention of the sisters. I said, do you all realize you're selling a calendar to us, and the history doesn't even include us? So that's what I just want to kind of say about that the flag, that it represented Islam, the way of life that was given to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by Allah. And the vision came to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if we don't be careful, and they excluded that part of the Nation of Islam out, they exclude Imam Muhammad, because even when Imam Muhammad was present, physically present with us, they never put him out in public. He said a lot of things, explained a lot of things about history and involvement, and helped America, you know, being on boards and committees in Congress and things like that, never talked about. But if we that said we support Imam Muhammad don't say that and live it and make these people that Allah has blessed, if we don't make them important, then who will?
Right.
We have to make them important. We have to go back and say, Imam Muhammad just didn't fall out of the sky. He came physically to us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad. They might not had al-Islam as proper, but if you study what they did and the supporters and the followers, they wanted to be Muslims pure at heart. And they did what they was taught to do. They respected the Quran. They was told that someone would come after Donald Elijah Muhammad to give them real al-Islam. And when Imam Muhammad came, they knew, they recognized him, and they supported it. So this is very part of history here in America that we never insist that doing African American History Month, a Black History Month, that these people be talked about. They affected African American lives, American lives here. The brother just said his respect for the American flag because he's a veteran. We have veterans. Those things with the flag is very important because it's our symbol. La ilaha illallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. That's our sister Shakira from Chicago. Sister Shakira, before you go, were you by chance there in person when Imam Muhammad first introduced the flag to our community?
Yes, sir. I was there, and I have it still hanging on my wall.
Okay. What was it like that day? I mean, what was the energy like? Because I can hear the applause in the recording. What was the feeling, the thoughts that day when that flag was first introduced 47 years ago?
Well, I think, you know, and that was during the earlier days, and the spirit was real high and real appreciative of that being, especially the Quran, and an image that was actually put where it could represent us and the feelings that we had of, you know, like you said, a new people and getting new information to represent us from being Muslim from that point to be an international recognition that would represent us. It was, every time being in the presence and Allah blessing Imam Muhammad to share, you know, what he had given him. It was always a high spirit. It was always a high spirit. And so that was a day, and I was there. Praise be to Allah. Every time I had the opportunity to be where Imam Muhammad was, I was there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Okay.
And may Allah continue to bless the listeners and everyone. To continue. We go on.
Yes, ma'am. I mean. Okay. That is firsthand information. You can't beat that. They call that primary. Primary, and you got secondary. You got one that's even more interesting called tertiary. That's the third line. Somebody told somebody who told somebody. But our sister here gave us firsthand information. Okay. I think I see my brother Dennis got something else to add. Is that brother Dennis's number? Come here. Showed up again. Hi, brother Dennis. We got to make it quick, short, and sweet. I think that's you. 317-450. Your own words, many people. Brother Dennis?
I think that's me, brother, man. Assalamu alaikum.
Who's that? Oh, you know what? Boy, shame on me. I'm in trouble now. Hey, look at that.
Now, I borrowed one of the sister phone down. See, I was listening. I just want to personally thank that sister for her input and insight into that flag. I wanted to come on just to personally thank her. May God continue to bless her and all of us. Thank her so much.
Yes, right. Yes, right. You know, you can't beat that. When you got someone who was there,
yes,
alive,
sir,
in the person, no,
yes,
you can't,
sir,
beat that. Yes, sir.
Hey,
so,
she gave me word for word.
Yes, right. So what are your thoughts, if any, on our Muslim American flag?
Brother Emile, I think it represents us as a whole. It's one thing that I love about Al-Islam is universal, and that flag is universal. It don't represent just the Muslim, but those that don't even know they Muslim, the flag represents them too. So that's my thought of it. It's universal.
Yes, sir. Universal. It applies to humanity. Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
Alhamdulillah. All right. We do thank you. Go to our next caller here. This is a 201 number. I think that's out of Jersey, somewhere from Jersey. Is that 201? You on Worth, man. People, can you give us your first name and your city, please?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Zakia in Jersey City. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Hija from New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I also am so impressed with the sister, her account of that day and that time. I think that may have been a fourth Sunday hookup back in 75 or 76 when Imam Muhammad introduced the flag. I kind of recall, you know, hearing him make that address. I know I wasn't in Chicago, but it seemed maybe I was at Malcolm Shabazz when he made that address and introduced the flag. But yes, it was very exciting.
The day given is very close to Savior's Day also. So there still could have been a fourth Sunday, but the date that I have that it showed was February 22nd, which is the week before Savior's Day, but it was definitely during Black History Month. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Well, no, I was just trying to reminisce with what the sister was saying and the spirit that she described on that day and the importance and the significance of that vision. I remember him saying something about his father had a vision of the letter lamb, the letter L, or lamb in Arabic, and he just kept seeing all of these lambs, you know. So I think that was part of the vision that Imam Muhammad came up with, the La ilaha illallah, because there are so many lambs in that in that statement. And so I remember him, you know, they unveiled the picture of the flag, and we couldn't see it because it wasn't a video, you know, it was just the audio. But wow, we could see it with our vision, you know, with our imagination. And it is a beautiful flag, and I thank Allah that we're keeping it alive, and we have to do that, like the sister said, so important that we promote it and keep it out front so that people will know, and it will be well established here in our country. Yes. So thank you,
Matt. Thank you. I want to add that we have in Abu Salah, we have the flag with a transcribing of the Imam's words that he said that day. And one of the youth, they're grown now. They're probably late 20s, 30s, born and raised in our community, and read it and took a picture of it with their phone because they said, I never knew this history. So we have different children in our community, probably nationwide, who know the flag and know that's our flag, but they have very little idea or understanding, knowledge of the history. And he read it, and he was so impressed by it that he took his phone out, and I said, yeah, please take a picture of it, you know, share it, because we need to know. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm gonna read just one point. I'm gonna read just one part of that from this thing. This came out in the 1976. It says March of 76, so it was right after the flag was introduced. And the memo saying the new flag is really a book, and the book is the Holy Quran. On the book is written La ilaha illallah, which means there is nothing worthy of worship as a God but Allah. And then he says, and he had a Muhammad, daughter of Rasulullah, which means that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If you have some knowledge of the contents of the Holy Quran, you know that this first principle, the Kalima or pillar of faith, is all through the Holy Quran from cover to cover. It dominates the whole Holy Quran. If you count the number of times the letter Lam is repeated in that Kalima, again, for those who are not Muslims, Kalima is the words that when you say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, there's nothing worth of worship except God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. That is the Kalima, okay? So he says, if you count the number of times that the letter Lam is repeated in that Kalima, you will see that it stands out more than any other letter in the Kalima. Some say Kalima, Kalima. When you look at it, you see Lam. Now, for our non-Muslims, Lam is the Arabic letter that's equivalent to the L in English, okay? Imam says, when you look at it, you see Lam before you see anything else. This was his vision, his father's vision. He says, I think that the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad should get the credit for this vision. And I think that it is a flag that you all can identify with and be proud of. A new world needs a new flag. The Muslim world has come to be identified with the symbol of the crescent and the star. But when you read the Holy Quran, you do not find any crescent and star in there. Alhamdulillah. So I just wanted to share that. Because we need to import this to our children, import this to our, and to remind ourselves, and to those outside of the masjid, or to other Muslims who are not in our association. So this is our flag, and this is what it means. We have a duty to share that. Alhamdulillah. So thank you, Sister Hajah, for your comments, and thanks to all the listeners. Was there anything else you wanted to add? I think you want to say something else.
No, just that I pray, Allah, that this information be included throughout our schools, and that the children be required to know it and understand it, and, you know, and have a test or whatever to make sure that this information is passed on, you know, to our generations. But thank you, Haji. It's a wonderful program. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. So we're going to play again Imam Muhammad's words, but this program is being recorded. And within minutes of it going, in literal minutes of it being completed, you will be able to take the link, share it with your friends, listen to it again and again, because we are about preserving our community. Oh, I forgot. Oh, my goodness. This is Words Made People. But there are other great productions also on this station. It's called Station IWDM. Forgive me a second here to pull them up, because I don't want to miss them. I know quite a few of them by heart. But we know we have on Tuesdays, we have a wonderful production of by Brother Rashid Salam from St. Louis, Missouri. And his show is titled Your Health and You. Your Health and You. That's Tuesday at 7 p.m. Call the same number. The number is 714-816-4673. Again, 714-816-4673. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, correlates to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Yes, Pacific Time. On Wednesdays, there's a production by Brother Mark Shaheed, and his production is dealing with a lot of family issues. He comes on Wednesdays as well as on Thursdays. And keep in mind, all three of these shows are at 7 p.m. My computer's moving kind of slow. I'm trying to wait for it to download. But he has roundtable discussions. Yes, so on Wednesdays, he has a parenting and family reconstructing learning lab. That's on Wednesdays. As every Wednesday, the parenting and family reconstructing lab, learning lab. And then he comes on Thursdays to have a discussion. I'm sorry, but also on Wednesday, he has the Lutheran Roundtable as the discussion as well, dealing with issues in my community. That's at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Then he's again on Thursdays. He deals with courtship and marriage learning lab every Thursday at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. We have a new production that's coming on Mondays. And I think this past Monday was his first production. And it's titled ABCs, but it's ABC stand for El-Islam-Based Conversations. That's El-Islam-Based Conversations. And that comes on every Monday at 5 p.m. And I'm trying to see if they mentioned. Please forgive me. No, I do not remember our brother's name. I sincerely apologize. But same phone number, 716-816-4673, and that's Mondays at 5 p.m. So we're thankful to those who support Station IWDM. She on Fridays at 2 p.m., Indianapolis Juma is carried on this same station as well. So we are serious about sharing this information. And inshallah, we're going to have a Saturday program coming up soon called Ramadan Review. Ramadan Review. So again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your patience. We will close out with the recording of Imam Muhammad's talk on the flag, the history of the flag, and so we can learn what Imam Muhammad was hoping for us to have with the flag. Just give me a second to pull it back up. Won't take but a second, inshallah. So we can share this information. And again, this link that I'm going to play, you can also find it online. You can find it online on YouTube. Here is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Okay. We have here a blackboard back there. I might have need for that blackboard if somebody could get it out a little closer. But before we, just a moment, before we, I think it'll be easier since we have to do this anyway. We have new creation here, and it is the creation really of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may peace be on him. But I think will be given the credit for putting this together with Harvey Elijah Muhammad, and some of you will remember this, especially the sisters and brothers who were very close to him. He used to talk about a vision he had of a book. Said he had a vision of a book. And this book, its letters were dimensional. They had depth. And he said when he looked at the letters of the book, it appeared as though the letters were penetrating the book all the way through, going all the way through the book. And he said these letters, they had a glow on illumination. And he said the letter that he recognized, the only letter that he recognized, was the letter Lam. Now the letter Lam in Arabic is L. The only letter that he could recognize was the letter Lam or L. He said, and he recognized it because that letter seemed to have been all through. It just stood out. The letter Lam. That Lam, he said, seemed to have been standing out all through the writing. When he told me that, I listened very attentively to him, as I always do, especially when he seems to be really concerned about what he's talking about, involved, so to speak, in what he was talking about. So I listened to him very closely, and I was trying to, well, interpret the vision that he was telling me. Because he was at the table one day, he told me, but I'm not the only one, others were there then. He told this to me. So I said to myself, what can this stand for? What can this represent? The Lamb. And it came to my mind, well, maybe it means that I know there's no book coming to Muslims after the Holy Quran, but the Holy Quran. I know that. So I knew it couldn't mean a physical book coming after the Holy Quran to replace the Holy Quran. Although he has said things to that effect, but I understood him. I knew he didn't actually mean what he was saying. He meant something else. A great understanding, a new way of looking at the book was coming. So in our life, it would be like a new book. You understand? Right. So I knew that. So I'm trying to figure out now, what did he mean by a new book is coming, he said. And this book has these letters, and the letter of the Lamb stood out. Then it came to me, I said, my father's telling us that the new book is to come is really a new book to us because we have never known the Holy Quran. We have known the Bible. We have preached the Bible from the rostrum. And most of us know much more about the Bible than we know about the Holy Quran. In fact, for most of the years of his leadership, he didn't allow the Holy Quran to be preached or just hand out freely among the believers. But he always held it up high as the book. Is that right? He said the Holy Quran is the book. He said that's the pure book. But he never encouraged us to really get into it. So his vision of a new book to me was the vision of the Holy Quran, but it was vague in my mind. The ideas or the thing that I was seeing, it hadn't really taken complete form. It was kind of vague in my own mind. I put it aside. So we were coming up with some ideas for the blackboard. Because I came to understand that the blackboard drawing that we had been using was out of date. It needed to be updated. We needed a new drawing on the blackboard. So while I was trying to think of a new drawing for the blackboard, a picture came to form. And when it came to form, I said, well, this shouldn't only be a drawing for the blackboard. I said, really, we have to make another drawing for the blackboard. This drawing should be for something else. Now, just pull the curtains back there, and we want to show them what we have here. Now, I'll
what this is. You can see it's a flag, right? All right. The flag is the book. The book is the Holy Quran. And on the flag is La ilaha illallah, which means there is nothing worshipable, worthy of worship as a God but Allah, which means the God. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad the messenger of Allah. Now if you have some knowledge of the contents of the Holy Quran, you know that this first principle, our first kalima, pillar of faith, is all through the Holy Quran from cover to cover. This fundamental belief here goes throughout the Holy Quran. It dominates the whole Holy Quran. And if you count the letters, or the number of times that the letter Lam is repeated in that kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you will see that the letter Lam, or L, stands out more than any other letter in that kalima. And when you look at it, you see Lam before you see anything else. It begins with Lam, La, Ilah, another Lam. La ilaha illallah. Illah, another lamb. Allah, two more lambs. Muhammadur Rasul, one more lamb. And Allah, again, two more lambs. So the letter lamb is all through it, and it stands out. And this kalima is all through the whole Quran. You see? So this was his vision. I don't want to take the credit for this. I think all the Elijah Muhammad be beyond him to get the credit for this vision. And I think, I think that's a flag that you all can identify with and be proud of. A new world needs a new flag. The Muslim world has come to be identified with the symbol or the emblem, the crescent star. Is that right? Now, when you read all the Quran, you don't find any crescent star in there. Islam is a simple religion. What I mean by simple, it is not a religion that is covered up with symbolism, ritualism. It's a religion that comes straight forward and straight out in the open with what it's all about, you understand? But what brought on this flag with the emblem, the star and crescent in it, was really the crusades that came against, the Christian crusades that came against Islam. And the leaders of the army, they carried the cross. So the Muslims reacting to that raised the crescent, which was a better symbol. Because the cross represents, as the old spiritual song that our forefathers used to sing and mothers used to sing, suffering, shame, and death. You see? So here was an army representing a nation, a society of people that helped
called sacred, an emblem of suffering, shame, and death. And couldn't see the ugliness of what they were doing. All they knew was that it was Jesus that they identified with. But when you really go into that and think about it, the lifting of the cross as something sacred really is a disgrace to the beautiful world that Jesus brought into existence. It's a disgrace to it. The emblem itself brings to mind death and misery. It doesn't bring to mind life. You have to interpret to arrive at life as a meaning. You have to connect Jesus, his purpose, his sacrifice, his teaching, with that emblem. But how many of us will see the cross and do all of that interpreting? When we see it, we see something that was on graveyard, or something that is on graveyard, pardon me. And when we see it, we think of the suffering and misery that Jesus had to bear. So to us, it's an emblem of death and shame and suffering. Is that right? So it is a better the emblem in the crescent, the star in the crescent, than it is in the cross. Why? Because what the Muslim was saying to the Christians is this. You lift up death. You see death as glory. But God has pointed out in his scriptures that his glory is readily seen, and not in the grave, but in the heaven. Read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God never points to the graveyard to show us his glory. He says, look at the heaven, how they are lifted up in glory. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Is that right? All right. So this is what God does. He directs our minds to the heavens to show us the sign of his glory. So the Muslim was saying to the Christians, the sign of God's glory is not death, but life. And the sun is the source of life in this physical world. And the moon is a necessity. Is that right? All right. And the stars are very useful to man, because they direct his path at sea and through the land. Is that right? So they raised a much better sign. But they didn't raise that sign upon orders from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. They raised it as an answer to the cross that was raised in war against Muslims. You see? What should we really exalt? What should we really raise? It's knowledge. Why? Because we know emblems can't save humanity. Pictures and signs can't save humanity. But men can look at the star and the moon, the crescent up there in the sky, all their life for generation after generation, until the land grow old and big. That doesn't mean that they're going to be lifted as a society. Is that right? The savage, the primitive man and woman, they see the sun, moon, and star. But what has made the difference? Knowledge. Some men have seen and gone into and come out with knowledge. Is that right? So the book of knowledge for the Muslims is the Quran. If we exalt anything other than knowledge, we exalt the wrong thing. You say, well, what about God? God is not something that we know in any sense other than in a body of knowledge. We don't know God in flesh. We don't know God in symbols. your God and love it. All praises be to Allah. You may say, well, I feel God in my flesh, and that's how I know God. That's the beginning of knowledge. Feelings are the beginning of knowledge. But you can't say you know until you grow up a little bit taller than feelings.
Check out the words that make your world.